is up, New Jersey Devil fans? Welcome to the Trap Podcast. I am your host, Bill Botch, along with my compadre, Mr. Patty Shambro. Patty, how we doing, buddy? Long time no see.
What's up, Bill?
how are things, bro?
Things are great. It's nice to be back on. We, you know, the little dead period for a while. It's nice to finally have something good to talk about.
I know. This is we said that when this day came that we were going to get back at it and do a podcast, and I talked about it in the last episode that I did. The end of the season was just like kind of like uninspiring to me, and I didn't want to waste anybody's time, and I didn't want to sit on here and bitch and complain the whole time. So I figured if I didn't have anything nice to say, just don't say anything at all. And you know, there had been this lead up to the Devils making this coaching hire. And there were a couple names that got thrown around. It was Jay Woodcroft, Craig Berube, Todd McClellan. So, you know, when Toronto fired Sheldon Keefe, I think the two of us in particular, we thought that Woodcroft and Keefe were our two best options. And then the more that I looked at it and the more I thought about it, Keefe definitely became my personal number one option going into this. What was your take on potential to take over behind the bench?
I think, you know, as soon as the news that Keefe was out in Toronto, I came out and said, like, that's the best available option on the market, including Craig Berube. Like, he's a young guy. He's a proven winner at every level. I know everybody's going to, you know, poo-poo him on the playoffs, but let's just get back to the goddamn playoffs first. You know, he has as many playoff wins in the NHL the last four seasons as the Devils have in the last 12. So let's just get back to the playoffs. He's a, you know, I got three notes here. He was the fastest ever to 300 wins. Yep. The youngest coach to get 300 wins. He's 43 years old. I think his biggest problem in Toronto was the media. And I think having this fresh start in New Jersey is a home run hire.
I would agree. I mean, you know, he won the Calder Cup when he was coaching in the OHL for the Marlies. And then after Toronto moved on from their coach, they brought him up, and he basically had success right away. And I completely agree with you. The Devils had a great season 2 years ago. Last year was a dud. We need to get back to just making the playoffs and being in contention every year. And then we'll worry about our playoff experience as the time comes. But he's led his last three teams. He's had over 100 points and has never finished less than third in the Atlantic Division, which is very competitive division. So I'm like in the same mindset. Like, I want a team that I know is going to make the playoffs every year. And then once we get into the playoffs, then we can worry about style of play and whatnot. And to be honest with you, the Devils aren't going to be able to win the Stanley Cup if they don't add a little bit of thickness and a little bit of heaviness to their lineup, because as you see, the playoffs, the teams that are able to play heavy and play fast and just have a more well-rounded game typically do better. So I look at the way that he's coached, and you know, he was Kyle Dubas's boy, hands up, he gets the job. And I mean, talk about having a really hard first job behind the bench, just to be the coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs. You have, you know, your core four players in Tavares, Nylander, Marner, and Matthews. Everyone is expecting you to win. They haven't won a Stanley Cup since the 60s. The media is crazy. Everybody's crazy. One of the things that sucks about Toronto is if your players are any good, they're automatically looked at like superstars, and you have to pay them like superstars because they're dealing with the pressure and they're dealing with the fandom that comes with playing for Toronto. So just as a first job, that seems like a very hard position to be in as a young guy who's you know, hopping behind the bench at, what, 39 years old for the first time.
Yeah, and he's from Ontario, and, you know, you know, he won everywhere he went before Toronto, and he was kind of gifted this Ferrari, you know, and you know, it crashed and burned a little bit in the playoffs. But two of the times he lost to the eventual Eastern Conference champions in Tampa Bay and Florida last year, and this year he lost to the Boston Bruins. I just have to emphasize, let's just get back to the playoffs. I even like the most devout people who aren't going to like this because of his recent playoff mishaps. You can't argue the fact that the Devils are going to be a much improved team next year. Like, you have to see this for what it is this guy is going to put this team where it needs to be to compete in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think, like, the way that I look at it is, I kind of like coaches that have their second go at it. I feel like you learn a lot from your first one. He dealt with, plenty of superstars, and he has something to prove. And one of the things that was kind of getting tossed around when it came to Sheldon Keefe was that he was soft, and Elliot Friedman brought it up in the last 32 Thoughts podcast, and he said that's just not the case at all. Like, anybody that's been around the team knows that isn't the case. Go ahead and ask William Nylander if he thinks that Sheldon Keefe's soft. And I think that accountability is going to be a very big part of the Devils' upcoming seasons, which they needed, because I don't think that Lindy Ruff held them accountable enough. And you saw his exit interview when he was fired. He put out that video of him by the lake and saying how what an honor it was to coach for the Maple Leafs and growing up in Ontario and all this. You know, after those playoff losses, I heard him taking a lot of the blame on himself and protecting his superstars. And very rarely did you see a Mitch Marner or an Austin Matthews put some of the blame on themselves. And I think that, you know, the Maple Leafs, they put 50% of their salary cap into four players. And when you do that, it does not allow you to add depth scoring and depth on the back end, which they really did not have any kind of defense, and their goaltending has been horrible for years. And I think Keith is coming into a situation where he's got a core group of forwards with Meyer and Heischer and Hughes and Bratt. And then he also has Dougie Hamilton, Luke Hughes, and a Nemitz coming along too. He's getting his second crack at it. He knows that if he fails here with another young, talented core, that it might be hard for him to get a job moving forward. This seems like an opportunity for somebody to really spread their wings in a smaller market with less pressure on them and go out there and just be the coach that they know that they could be. I think this is a great situation for him.
Absolutely. As the note I wanted to bring up before, there's only two coaches in history who had more wins in their first 300 NHL games, and he was three wins shy of the most all time. In 12 years as a head coach, the lowest point percentage Keefe had was a 586. And from AHL, OHL, and NHL, he has won a playoff round in 7 of 12 years. So yeah. This guy, he knows, this is a great hire. He was the best available option by far, and I'm saying that including Craig Berube.
Yeah, you know, like, I look at Craig Berube and I think, so here's the thing, all these teams, they move their coaches when they lose in the playoffs because they can't keep throwing the same thing back out there if they've had consecutive losses and they need to make moves. The problem is you can't really move the players because of the salary cap. Everyone's so tight with the salary cap, so instead of moving the players, they move the coaches. I think that Toronto is trying to make moves right now. Like, you see Mitch Marner's name coming up on the trade block, and he's a guy that they're paying to play like a superstar. You go into the playoffs with Mitch Marner, the guy hasn't shown up in years, to where he has 37 playoff games played. He has 6 goals in 37 games. You can't win if you're not contributing, if you're supposed to be a goal scorer and you're not contributing in the playoffs. So that would be like if a Jack Hughes or a Jesper Bratt or a Timo just completely shit the bed year after year after year. So when they went out and got Craig Berube, I think they needed somebody that was so over the top, holding them accountable and so hard nosed and hard headed. One, because the fan base demanded it. And two, because they need to figure out if it's time to make big changes when it comes to Tavares and Marner being a pillar to build that team around, and if that team is ever going to be able to win a Stanley Cup. So I think by going out, like, to me, Berube was too polarizing. He was too hard-headed, and I don't think that he would have fit in with the speed that our team has now. One of the things I like about Keefe is he's played with a very fast team. Like, they score a lot of goals. He knows how to structure a game that lends itself to our skill set, and I think that that was important. I didn't think that Berube had that. And another thing is the defense that of the teams that Keefe actually coached were actually rated pretty high, despite only having Morgan Rielly on the back end. They really don't have any depth defense. So I think that his game is like well-rounded and well-suited towards our skill set and towards our players. I think it would have been a little bit of a clash, and it would have been possibly gotten us off to a very slow start if Berube would have came in and would have expected us to play this heavy game or dump and chase and forecheck game. I don't think it really would have lent itself to our team.
No, I think Berube would have been trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. Like it just I never saw it. You know, maybe it would have been a fun hire to try to make the playoffs at the end of last year and see what he could do if they could, because he was available. But I never saw him as the guy to take this team into the future. And I really do see that in Sheldon Keefe, just his overall resume and the type of game that he wants to play. I'm just going to keep saying it. It is a fantastic hire.
You look at like what the, you know, you could compare the core four in Toronto, Matthews, Nylander, Marner, and Tavares. Let's just say you want to compare that to what we expect Jack Hughes, Meyer, Bratt, and Heischer to do. Our four are making $15 million less than those four. So, I mean, think about what that you're able to do as far as put pieces around that talent, you know, have a good, strong third line or have put some wingers on the wings of your core center. You know what I mean? So I just feel like it allows us to do a lot more, even just depth defensemen, a 5 and 6 defenseman. You can get a veteran, you can pay him $2 million to come in and, you know, play a heavy game, block shots on the penalty kill, stuff like that. So I think that between having the extra cap space to build a more solid, legit team around and having young talent on the back end to go with Dougie Hamilton, I think it's like a plethora of riches that he really didn't have in Toronto, and he had way more pressure. So I feel like he's going to feel a little bit relieved. He's going to have a little pressure on him, though, as a second-time head coach who's been fired for the first time. He's going to want to come and redeem himself, which I think is good. And I think that when he does that, he doesn't have to be as player-friendly if he knows that basically his career is on the line too. And I think that the Devils need a little bit of that. I think, you know, I said it before, like, I have a little bit of a problem sometimes what I see from like a Jack Hughes and all the stuff that he's able to bring to the game, and tangibles and talent and speed and skill. It's okay to have your coach call your best player out once in a while and elevate him, push him to the next level. And I think that Lindy Ruff was scared to do that for so long. It almost felt like Lindy owed Jack Hughes for allowing him to keep his job after that exit interview. And Hughes never got benched, or Lindy never called him out in a press conference, which I respect that as well. But also, I don't think he got the most out of him either. I don't. I think that Keefe is young. He's 43. And I think he's got a serious opportunity with the skill set in front of him. And I think he has the will this could be the guy the Devils win the Stanley Cup with. I really honestly believe that.
100%. I'm seeing it now. Like, you're seeing like all the points you just brought up about being able to put the pieces around our core, the opportunities that Toronto didn't have, as well as our young defensive prospects that will blossom, that we're all expecting to blossom into these superstars in Nemitz and Luke Hughes. Toronto didn't have that either. So it's really exciting. It's finally, it's really cool to have something fun and look forward to something again. I think we were all just so down in the dumps for so long. And this is, it's really, really exciting.
Yeah, this is a good day to be a Devils fan. You know, one of the things that I think kind of got under people's skin was the fact that, like, Lindy Ruff really never showed any emotion on the bench. And I think that part of that comes with, I don't know. I mean, obviously, that's just his personality. But I feel like there's this fine line, especially when you have a young team, to where you can be emotional and freak out and have your moments behind the bench that kind of shoot a little bit of life and a fire into your team's ass. And then I feel like there's coaches that go completely overboard and act like maniacs all the time too. And it wears thin. And you saw like what happened, like everybody was into Tortorella at the beginning of the year and he got the most out of the Flyers. I mean, by far, it was an amazing coaching job. There's no doubt about it. But then like, that kind of like gets old. It's very hard to keep that up all year and to have people play above their heads that much all year. And you saw what happened. They fell off towards the end of the season and they really like hit a skid. I think like there's a happy medium to that. And I feel like Keefe is a good, he's got, you know, he's like well-rounded. He's got his finger on the pulse of the league and he's the type of coach that when the team needs somebody to call a timeout, and get in their team's ass if they're getting outplayed in the first 10 minutes of the game, which how many times did we see this year? Obviously, the Devils, you know, leading the league and letting up the first goal. It's like, it would have been nice to see Lindy Ruff call a timeout and just freaking get after his players. You know what I mean? And it's like, unfortunately, Alex Holtz took the brunt of a lot of the stuff that went wrong on the Devils this year. And I'm not saying that he didn't deserve any of it, but it felt like he was kind of the whipping boy. I'd like to see a coach that kind of calls out players and makes them all accountable and basically has the level and the of the entire team's accountability. And, you know, like the thing that disappointed me the most this year was it looked like some games they were flat out like disinterested.
Mm-hmm.
There was no passion. Like
no passion.
They played with passion the year before. You know what I mean? Every game they played with passion. And then this year they didn't. And like, I feel like as a coach and as a captain or one of the main leaders of the team, it's kind of your job to like make sure that your players are showing up to play every night. And if you guys are sandbagging it, like there needs to be moves made. And I hopefully that he can just, you know, raise that standard for the team moving forward.
And you know, I don't want to keep bashing Lindy because I think that era is behind us. It is behind us. But like what you're saying is I totally agree. Even like when, Rempe was, you know, running our players and, you know, the Rangers were just bullying us. There's just no emotion on the bench from Lindy Ruff. And I think that trickles down. You know, it would have been not like what you're saying. It would have been nice for Lindy Ruff to reach over the boards and say something to Peter Laviolette after that BS. Like it just never felt like what you're saying that they lacked passion this year. And I thought that trickled down from the top. And I don't think that will be the case with Sheldon Keefe.
Like, look at how good our players are playing in this world.
They're killing
tournament.
It.
Like
they're killing it.
They're playing so good.
Yeah.
Like, where was that? You know what I mean? Like,
it's actually pissing me off a little.
I know. My dad's been super pissed about Palat. You know what I mean? He's like,
motherfucker.
yeah. So, you know, you look at Keefe's record. I mean, he won at a 665 winning percentage. He went 212, 97, and 40. I mean, that's pretty good first ever NHL job. It's like if any of us did that good at our jobs when we first started, I mean, we would be promoted.
Yeah, and I honestly think if he was coaching anywhere else in the league, he'd probably still have his job.
I know. I was saying, like, do you think that Do you think that there weren't any good coaches that came through Toronto since 1967 or whatever it was? It's like, give me a break.
I don't know. Like,
the town's cursed.
The pickle was still living in Newark, you know, back then.
The pickle was rioting.
Yeah, the last time the Leafs won the cup. Like when you said it on the last pod, like Pat Burns couldn't even get it done in Toronto. Right. I think there's only two or three coaches in the history of the league that have won Stanley Cups in multiple locations. So this is Sheldon Keefe's shot.
Yeah, I love it. You know, the pickle was very nervous about us not picking a coach quick enough. And I was trying to explain to him, I think it was actually Keefe I think he had the offer on the table and he was taking his time. And you want somebody that you know is 100% committed, which the Devils gave him a 4-year contract, 2 years of what was he still had under the Maple Leafs, plus an added 2 more. And he got a raise from what the Maple Leafs were paying them as well. So I think it shows a commitment. I think this is a big move for Tom Fitzgerald too, because listen, I like Tom Fitzgerald, but to say that he hasn't had some questionable moves would be an understatement. So he's done really good at locking up our contracts for our core pieces. No doubt about that. And getting good value out of him. I thought he did well on the Timo Meier trade. I thought it was good how he convinced Dougie Hamilton to come here. But he did pick Chase Stillman in the first round. That's a head scratcher. You know, Shakir Mukhamudulin in the first round. That was a head scratcher. So my point is, He needed to make a good move, and I think that he really hit the nail on the head. Now, it doesn't matter who you have behind the bench. If you don't go out and get a goaltender, it's going to be very hard to win playoff rounds. So I think that's his next piece of business. And he said he wants to go out big game hunting this summer. So who are your main targets when it comes to, is it Ullmark?
If I was a GM, my main target is Saros, but okay. I think the deal is pretty much done for Markstrom. I really do think as soon as they can trickle out some minor details, I think Markstrom will be a Devil, out of all the talks they had, and Markstrom wants out of Calgary. And I don't think Fitz is willing to give up the pieces necessary to get Saros, which yep. I'm fine with. And I don't know. The Ullmark situation just seems kind of weird to me. I don't know. He's fine being the Swayman's backup. I get it. He's comfortable there, but I don't know. My target is Saros. I think it's going to be Markstrom.
I completely agree with you. I think it's going to be Markstrom too. I'm not necessarily 100% sold on him. He may be good. He may be a good piece to get us through for maybe 2 years or 3 years or something like that. And what are you going to do? Are you going to run back Jake Allen?
I guess you have to. I would be comfortable going with Markstrom and Jake Allen. I would feel comfortable with Markstrom in the net for the next 2 to 3 years. I think he's very, very talented goaltender, and you know, goalies don't grow on trees. You know, it's very rare to find a guy like Shesterkin or Sorokin, or even though Sorokin didn't play that well this year, but you know what I'm saying. But I think Markstrom's the guy. Let's plug him in there. He's put this good team around him, and let's drop the puck.
Yeah, one of the things that I don't want to see them do, you know, is trade the 10th overall pick for a goalie. I think that is not a very smart move. I think that having a pick 10th overall allows you to get a good player. And even if you wanted to, whether you want to draft a player, I think it's going to give you somebody that's going to be good. I think that they could move him move the pick for a player that's going to help the team right now, because like the team's window is like pretty open as far as I'm concerned. But I wouldn't trade him for a goalie. Like, I feel like goalies are too unpredictable, and it's a little too much value to give up for a goalie, unless it was a Saros.
Yeah, I was gonna
ask. The problem with Saros is he's gonna want a big contract, and when you start tying up a lot of your cap space with an $8 million goalie contract, for instance, that he probably could get somewhere, if he doesn't play well, that's kind of scary. You know what I mean? Like, and that happens to everybody. It happens to all goaltenders. I think like they hit. There's peaks and valleys, but yeah, that's the one thing that worries me.
You know. Scared about, money don't make no money.
You think about this. They signed they went and signed like one of their young goalies to a professional contract who's going to play in Utica.
Yeah.
Is Akira Schmid just done?
I think Akira Schmid is going to Calgary.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I think okay. I think he's part of the deal.
I could see that. I think all right here, if Akira Schmid is not going to Calgary, is he done?
No. Somebody will pick him up.
But he's done as a Devil.
He's done as a Devil for sure. I think they signed him to the Utica contract because it's a done deal that Schmid is part of the Markstrom package.
I think there was so much smoke around Markstrom that I could definitely see that happening. Yeah. And then, you know, I think we're going to have to make some depth moves too, you know. One of the signings that happened last week that I got really bent out of shape about was the McDermott signing. And, you know, I know it's only $1 million. Like, here's the problem with this. And this is one of the things that, like, I do. I question Tom Fitzgerald a little bit. When we say that the Devils need toughness, we're not looking for fighters necessarily. Now, would it be good to have a guy that could throw fists? Absolutely. I do think that that is important when you have a young, skilled team, for sure. But I think, like, the main, what we're looking for is overall toughness of the team as far as playing more physical and being able to get people off of their games. Like, a guy like Ryan Reeves at least throws the body. And, like, I was listening to Devil's Insider podcast, and they hit it, like, literally directly on the head, exactly what my thought process was. Like, this seems like a very Matt Rempe move. No? Like, I feel like Matt Rempe kind of ran wild. The Rangers in general completely physically dominated the Devils for the past year and go back into the playoffs last year when Trouba almost killed Timo Meier. But I thought that the Rangers really pushed the Devils around physically this year, and they needed someone to stick up for themselves, or someone to stick up for them. So they went out and got McDermott, who's a great fighter. The problem is, like, he's got no speed. He can't play in any other parts of the game. So, like, at least a guy like Ryan Reeves or Rempe, or, like, go down a list. Give me another, like, not Lucic, but you get what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
So, like, they can at least, like, forecheck, for instance. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if McDermott's on the ice, he can't penalty kill. He can't really catch up to people to throw the body. It's like he doesn't have enough skill to be a viable option. And who the hell was going to sign him for more than, like, who was he to demand a three-year deal?
The three-year deal was the biggest head-scratcher for me. That, not the money, I didn't care about.
The money I don't care about either.
The three years.
I wanted him back next year. You want to give him $1 million and you can make him a healthy scratch after games, and then you could bring him in when you think you feel it's necessary. I'm fine with that. 3 years? Like, who the hell is he to demand 3 years? Why would you ever give him a 3-year deal? That's so stupid. What is the thought process behind that? Like, you can get my dad's always talking about Dmitry Kulikov as if he's freaking Bobby Orr, I swear to God. And it's like, you could have got a guy like Kulikov for $1 million to be a sixth and seventh defenseman.
Yeah.
And you're going to pay this guy 1.15 or whatever it is for I have no problem with them doing it for next year. You're going to do it for two more years after that? Like, you don't think the team's going to be better than that? You're going to, so you're potentially going to waive somebody to keep him on your roster for two more years after this year. Right?
I guess, looking down the line, yeah, I guess that
that's like what he did with Brendan Smith.
Yeah. The Brendan Smith 2.0. We're all in agreement that, you know, I did want McDermott back. You know, I like him in the organization. It's the rest of the team seemed to really respond to him. And, but 3 years, man, I don't know where he fits in Keefe's system. I don't know how that's going to play out, but
that's a weird thing too, is to sign a guy to 3 years a week before you're about to pick your head coach.
Yeah.
Like that doesn't, it just, know. That seems ass backwards to me. So I thought that that was a real head scratcher. I mean, I don't think it's the end of the world.
At the end of the day, it's $1 million.
It's $1 million. But like the way that I'm looking at it is 2 years from now, if you're, everybody's getting paid, Luke's getting paid, Nemitz is getting paid, you might need like $1 million, like just, like throwaway defenseman that you could throw out there. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a Colin Miller or something like that. Like guys like that go a long way. Like you need, especially going into the playoffs, if you're going to make a playoff run, you're going to need 7 or 8 defensemen for sure. Like to get to that point. So
you're also going to need him. McDermott.
Maybe. I'd rather a guy that could just play the game fast and heavy. That has a little bit of skill. Like, and I think that that's something that the Devils, like, I mean, that is the one part that does scare me about this, is the Devils are eerily similar to the Maple Leafs, as in the team is built around strictly skill, and there really isn't a lot of physicality. They have to, like, turn the page and learn to play tougher. The core of the team, not go out and get, you know, an entire new third and fourth line. I'm saying they're going to need to literally, like, Nico Hischier is going to need to learn to play a little bit tougher. Like,
I was just going to say, it starts with El Capitan.
Come on, man.
He needs to, you know, thicken up a little bit this summer, get in the squat rack and just play a little bit heavier.
Like, you know, I was a little disappointed that, I understand he's not a fighter and he's a number one overall pick, but he is the captain of the team. And there were a couple times this year where he could have went out there and just grabbed somebody and threw a couple punches and wrestled them to the ground and gotten his team alive and showed some passion. And I felt like he kind of let that slip through his fingers a little bit. And
yeah,
you know what I mean? Like I look at a guy like you saw how Pastrnak like got, you know, fought the other night, and it was like, or I guess that was a couple of weeks ago now, but it's like, that's what you do, man. Like that's what leaders do.
And I think that's it. That's in the team as a whole. I think it's in them. I think we saw it last year in the playoffs. You know, I remember Jack Hughes, you know, threw his little tussle with Sebastian Aho. It was kind of cute, but you know, he did it. And you know, they proved that they have the toughness in them to go 7 games and be in a real dogfight and do it. I just, like you said earlier, the passion this year just wasn't there. And it's a head scratcher. Why? I mean, after this year, after the first couple games, we can't blame Lindy Ruff anymore.
Sure.
So let's see. So then the next person to blame is Nico Hischier if this team comes out flat and without passion next year.
Yeah. It's going to be him and Hughes.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of good for these guys to have a new face coming into the locker room that they don't know what to expect from them. I think, you know, 100%. It's going to level everybody's game up.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, and also if Fitz comes through on his big game hunting, you know, you get this, the goal you need, and you have this new face at head coach with new voice at head coach. It's really exciting, and you can feel the pieces coming together a little bit.
Yeah, I feel a lot better about the team today than I did yesterday. So yeah. I feel like I feel really excited about next year. You know, one of the things that the Devils are going to have to do is they're going to have to get a third line center.
Yeah. you know, Mikey's not going to, Mikey is, I don't think he's coming, ever coming back.
He's not coming back. And that's something that they're going to need to take a look at. One of the guys who I saw is going to be a free agent who I think could be a good piece is Martin Hook on Carolina.
Martin Hook.
He plays tough, man. Like we need a little bit of that. You know what I mean? Like he plays a very tough, like grinds it out, playoff experience, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah. I mean, Carolina looks to be having a almost fire sale. It seems it's going to be. I think, you know, Martinick and Nekas are how do you say it?
Marty Natchez, dude.
Natchez, yeah, I think both of them.
Oh my god, he's so good.
Will be free. Will be on new teams next year.
He's so good, and he's young. He's 26. He's a guy that the Devils. You want to talk about big game hunting? He's a guy that if the Devils were able to get him, he is a very skilled big winger who puts the puck in the net and. I thought he was one of their best players in the playoffs. Yeah. So that's the kind of the thing with Carolina too, is typically they don't like to spend a lot of money. This year they did go out at the trade deadline and pick up Jake Guentzel, but it looks like they want to break things down a little bit. Like you said, in Carolina, you know, Freddie Anderson really shit the bed. Mm-hmm. At the end of that game, that game seven was brutal, dude.
Ugh, it's the worst.
So, congratulations to Jesper Bratt for getting engaged.
Oh, yeah.
Another one bites the dust.
Yeah, he found himself a Jersey girl.
I ran into him in Lavalette.
Oh, you were in Lavalette. I was wondering where you were.
Yeah, I was in Lavalette. Ran into him at Lava Java.
Nice.
Said what's up. It was just, he was like sitting out there. He had his brother in town.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, what are your thoughts on the Rangers-Panthers series?
I really wanted to try to get through it without talking about the Rangers, but I guess it was inevitable.
You can't do it.
I can't do it. I think they're going to split in New York. I think they're going to split down in South Florida. And I think the Panthers will steal game five and then win at home in six.
You know, let's talk Jacob Trouba for 1 second.
Oh, fuck
that haven't talked about the playoffs. We haven't really talked at all. I mean, the flying elbows that Jacob Trouba is throwing, it's like, if the league is serious about concussions and serious about player safety, like the headshot that he tried to take on Marty Natchez, where he almost broke his own neck, it's like, how long does the NHL just let flying elbows at people's heads go on for?
He's gonna kill somebody or himself, you know, with the Natchez hit, like when he went head first into the boards. I mean, it just, the thing that pisses me off about Trouba is, even though, you know, we all, you know, have our hates for the New York Rangers, but all in all, the majority of the team are pretty likable, except for Jacob Trouba, and he's the captain. And it never made sense to me why he got the C and a guy like Kreider or Panarin didn't get it.
Yeah.
The Rangers fans that I talked to, they're over him too because he spends so much goddamn time in the box.
He's also not skilled, and
he's not that good.
He's not good, and it's like, I can't believe that they picked Kreider, or they didn't pick Kreider and they picked Trouba over Kreider. To me, it just seems like so crazy. And what's even crazier than that is the Mark Messier Award, or whatever it's called, the Masterson, is that what it is?
Yeah, the Leadership Award or whatever.
That's the only award that nobody votes on, and Mark Messier gives away himself, and he gives it to Jacob Trouba.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
And I wish you didn't tell me that. Because now...
crazy?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Jacob Trouba gets the Leadership Award? Holy hell.
I was interested, you know, the Panthers are favored in this series and they're favored tonight. So Vegas seems to think that Florida's better. And I don't think that's the case. I think the Panthers are going to win the series, but I think the Rangers are more talented. Maybe I'm just hoping the Panthers win the series, but I'm kind of shocked that the Rangers are being viewed as underdog given their success in the playoffs so far and all season. They've really been a good team, as painful as that is to say.
Yeah, this should be good. You got anything else?
Nah, I'm good.
The game just started, so I want to go watch the game, but we should all be really happy as Devil fans. It's like, I understand that Keith hasn't had great playoff success, but it's a first-time coach. He's got a lot to prove. He's young. He's dealt with superstars, and he's got a lot of talent to work around on this team. It's going to be nice to have a fresh start behind the bench and see what these see what our players will do with a new voice in the locker room and if how hard they're going to play for him. So it's a good day to be a Devils fan. And yeah, I hope you guys are all enjoying it. We'll catch up if the Devils make any other moves in the off season. And we'll record something around draft day.
All right. Yeah. And then and hopefully we get some.
Yeah. Hopefully we have a goalie situation prior to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Patty. Well, good to see you, buddy.
Absolutely. Always a pleasure.
Yeah. Hit me up. You've been listening to the Trap Podcast for Patty. I am Bill, the Pickle, the Tickle, and everybody in between. It was good speaking to everybody. Have a great summer. Go Devils.
Peace.